I'm Dale Dampgard from Portland, Oregon, and I work as a counselor. And I work with people who have personal marriage and family problems, but also stress management problems. And often I will work not only with their mind, but with their body, because whatever your personality is, it's incorporated into how you hold your body. That as you grow in life and you begin to decide how you need to be in life and what you need to be and all of those things, you begin to hold your body in such a way that you try to make yourself what it is you're trying to be. In that sense, a lot of the tension in your body is not related to the present. It's related to the past and related to your beliefs about how you need to be. Carry the weight of the world. Don't get angry. You tighten up here. Various ways that we tighten and hold our body. Jesus refers to it when he talks about have no anxiety. And he says, which of you can, by being anxious, add a cubit to your life. I couldn't pick the word there. And my way of paraphrasing that is, which of you, by being anxious, can make yourself more than you are? Now, this often then grows out of the sense that we're not enough. Well, tonight what we're going to do is explore touch as a way of releasing the tensions. In a sense, touch is a way of healing, because it lets a person know that it's okay to be right here and now. You can let go of the tensions in you and the hurts and the aches and the pains. We know that Jesus repeatedly used touch. He laid his hands on them. He touched them. He spit and made clay and touched them with that. He held the children. So in many ways, Jesus was very comfortable in using touch as a way of communicating healing. And my concern is that we have in some ways said, well, the touch didn't mean anything. It was that zap from God that did the healing. But I think Christ was showing us how to use various means that are available to this. And so he says such things as, greater things than I do will you do. I think he was in many ways trying to show us the natural things we have available. Now there's a lot of questioning around how could touch be healing. And yet we do know that in various ways, when we have a prayer of healing in our church, we have the laying on of hands. Back in India, about the 1850s, I think it was, Dr. Mesmer found a use for, and it wasn't actually touch, it was just a non-touch, close but non-touch. His problem was, he was doing surgery over in India, and the problem was that he had no anesthetics. And so what happened was people would experience the surgery, and often the pain and all of the agony of it led to a long recovery time and extremely painful, which often got in the way of the healing of the surgery. Well, what he did was he would have a person slump down in a chair, and then he would start passing, he would straddle them like this, and then pass his hands over them like this, and not actually touch them, just lightly pass his hands down over their body. And that's how we got the term mesmerize. Well, what happened was, after about 20 to 30 minutes of this, people became very relaxed, and they handled the surgery, experienced much less pain, and were recovering much more quickly. And it was a natural means of anesthetic. And he was so excited, he went back to England and said, I made this marvelous discovery of this natural thing that we can use. And he was ousted from the medical society for talking about such things. So we've had a lot of skepticism about touch and its healing capacity. We also know, and yet we aren't able to scientifically test this because we would not want to deprive a child of touch, but where children have been deprived of touch and emotional contact, they do not grow. They actually do not grow. And so it is believed that if a child does not receive physical and emotional contact, or stroking as it's often called, that that child will not develop and grow. So there's some ways that touch is important to us, is essential as food and clothing to be recognized. And what we're realizing is that this touch is important not only for children, but also as we get older, and especially as we get into our retirement years. People often just long to be touched, and often have no opportunity to be touched. What I want to do with you tonight is not talk to you about touch, but guide you through some various kinds of touching experience, because it's a lot more fun, and also I think you will understand more of what's happening. So we'll just do a variety of things with people sitting on a chair and working with their neck and their back and their shoulders, and we'll see what happens when we do those things. Before we do that, and a number of you have been in some of my sessions where I've done this already possibly, but it makes a point that I don't know how to make any other way. Would you reach out and touch something? Just anything. Just reach out and touch something. Okay? Take your hand back. Okay. Now, would you reach out and feel the same thing that you touch? Okay, now what's the difference between the two? What did you notice?
The touch, you just touched it with your hand or your fingers.
Okay.
Basically, this way I reach clear around the handle and more or less rub my hand around the whole arm of the chair.
Okay, and what did you become aware of?
A greater feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The properties of what you were touching.
The properties of what you were touching, yeah. Yeah. The first time you did it, where was your awareness? Or how were you focused? What?
Mine.
Okay. And you're focused on the doing. Let's see, I've got to move my arm out there and find an object. Mechanical, see? Okay, I've done it. Now, and then the second time, what happened? Where did you move your awareness to? Out here. And you went out and said, interesting. Oh, that's what it feels like. Certain temperature, texture, feel. Now, have you been with someone, let's say, have you been with a teacher sometimes who has been so anxious about their teaching that you haven't felt in contact with them? Like they're functioning like a machine. Or if you meet a stranger sometime, and if you're worried about, let me see, is my hair on straight, and you know, oh, my nose and my makeup, or you know, whatever, how do I look, am I saying the right thing? If our awareness is on our doing, we can spend a lot of time with a person and never know them. In fact, sometimes that happens in homes, where we get going and we're always focused on the doing, always focused on the work, what needs to be done, how are we doing it, so forth. And we can be so focused on that we don't move that awareness out and say, hey, who are you? What are you feeling? What's life like for you? And we can remain strangers, even though we are together. So where we put our awareness makes a whole difference in how we experience life. Now in massage or in touch, the same thing is true. Have you ever had someone give you a massage who did it mechanically? A back rub or something where they say, okay, I'm going to give you a back rub. They go through the motions. And you feel like, what's going to happen next? They're not in touch with you. And it feels like it. It feels like you are being done to. Not interacted with. So one of the things we want to do tonight is play around with where we're going to put our awareness and what happens actually when you really put your awareness out at your fingertips and let your fingers interact with what it is they're discovering there, there's not much you will do wrong. It's when you are concerned about, I've got to do it right. Now let's see. This, that often it doesn't feel good. Because we're not in touch. Okay, now let's, to do this, actually, the folding chairs are better. What I would like to have you do is find a partner and decide who's going to be first and who's going to be second, because both will have a chance. And we'll do essentially the same things with each one. And then sit with as much of your back exposed. If you sit straight in a folding chair where your back can be exposed, or if you'd like, you can straddle it. You can turn around so your whole back is exposed. We're going to work essentially with the neck and the shoulders and the back. Okay, and if you didn't come with someone, why just walk up and say, hey, you want to be with me? And there's folding chairs over here. Come up in here if you can. There's some folding chairs over here. You want to get a folding chair and come up in here? Part of the concern, I'm going to have you do a number of things that will be difficult in that position. And a first concern for you and doing the touch and the care, the massage, is your own comfort. Make sure you are, if you're trying to do it over here and you're off balance, you're going to communicate that to the person that you're touching. Part of it, you may want to stand up, otherwise you can sit down. I think for the first part, would you stand up? I think that would work the best. Those receiving, sit down. Those doing, stand up. Okay, those who are about to touch, take a good full breath of air. Feel your feet on the floor. In other words, bring your awareness into yourself. Bring your mind out of all the agendas, all the things you forgot to do or should be doing, or the other session you're missing because you came to this one, or any of that other stuff. Kind of let go of that and get into your own body so that you come out of a centered position. Okay, and then as you lay your hands on the person, feel first the surface. Let yourself be aware of what the surface feels. And now move your awareness down about a quarter of an inch underneath the surface. Begin to feel what that skin feels like. Move your hands a little bit. Okay, now move your awareness down to the muscles. As you do, you can begin to feel some of the muscles there. And what you can experience is you can know whether there's tension there. You can feel what's happening in the muscles. Now move your awareness down to the skeletal frame. Have that sense that you're working with the bones and the muscles. Now let yourself be aware of the rhythm in this person, the pulse beat, the heartbeat. Look deeper. Let yourself be aware of the emotions in the person. That takes a different knowing. Just intuit, have a sense of where this person is at, what they're feeling. And they're thinking. You are also massaging their thinking. You're in touch with their thinking. And now have a sense that you are touching the whole body as you're touching. And not only a body, you're touching a unique person. A person who is a gift of God. You are in touch. You are receiving. You're interacting. Depending on what you will experience as you do this. And you can move your awareness from one level to another and experience different things. You can now bring your awareness back to the surface. And you can notice what the surface is like. Okay, now with your thumbs, go down about an inch on either side of the spine. And in a rotary motion, going down about an inch on each side, let yourself notice where there might be some tension, some knots. Oftentimes you can just by moving down and doing a little rotary motion, you can say, oh, that feels a little sore right there. Now, when you find a spot that feels tense or sore, and if you find a spot, kind of push on it. Say, does that hurt? And sometimes the person will say, yeah. Okay, now what do you do? The idea is not to force it, is not to attack it, because when you attack it or really go at it, often it counter-reacts and only becomes more tense. So the idea is to go around it and invite it to unlock. Do some circular motions on it and then come at it from some different ways where you're releasing it. Okay, now there's a spot right off the tip of the shoulder blade, right about here, that is often sore. It's a pressure point, a polarity point, and by working that, you will help release energy and help produce ultimately some relaxation. So that's a spot where you can kind of put your thumb there and go in a ways, and often they'll say, ouch. So, the idea is to kind of go in and work it out a little bit, release that energy point. This is related to things like acupuncture. We unlock the energy. Okay, now put your finger on your thumb like this on each hand. And right at the top of the shoulder, right here, where the muscles connect, put some pressure and some rapid motion. Up on the shoulder, up here. Right there, yeah. Okay, often that can send shivers all through a person. Okay, man. Okay, now with a finger and a thumb on each side of the spine, what we're doing now is a kind of a vibrating motion. First we were doing circular and stroking motions. This is kind of a vibrating motion on each side of the spine as you come up. It feels good to have those old muscles right by the nerve endings of the spine. Okay, and then after you do that a couple of times. You can take your fingernail and run right over the spine. Little shivers. Okay. Now, continuing your movement up with a finger, and I use my third finger. Begin to do a light circular motion on each side of the neck. and put your other hand on the forehead, so they don't have to have use any of their muscles to hold that forehead up, because you're going to be putting a little pressure as you work your way up the neck. They can just rest their head against your hand, and that way they're letting go. Now as you get near the skull, then move out, and right in here, is another pressure point, and sometimes that will be sore. And again, you can press in it a little bit.
Pressing.
Okay, you know, it's pretty tender. If something is too much pressure, just let your partner know. I'd like it a little lighter. Well, that's painful. Let them know if you're experiencing something like that, because a person often has no way of knowing. Now, if a person has a headache, one of the things that often will release a headache, a special attention headache, is to take the edge of your hand and place it right up under the base of the skull and push in and up. Push in against those two muscles coming up the neck, and then squeeze with your two hands. Squeeze and exhale as you squeeze so you can relax. And let go. This will often release a headache. I usually do it about 3 times, then slowly bring the pressure on again. Don't rush it, but just slowly bring the pressure back. And then release. And then again. Right at the base. You have to put a little pressure at the base of the skull, so your hand is both going in and up, but mainly in to put some pressure on those muscles. Often it creates a kind of release feeling, like, oh, the tension's gone. Okay. Now, it often also feels good to go up into the hair, the base, back of the neck a little bit.
When I just went to the hairdresser.
Right.
What was you saying? Hairdresser.
Okay, now a way of finishing is to tie together the work you've done and do it with sweeping motions. So for this time, start your hands at the head and touching very lightly, go down the arm. Do it a number of times. And have that sense that you're not about to do something, but you're about to get in touch with. Okay, and again now, lay your hands on. And just begin to feel that you're in contact, you're in touch. Part of what this does is the way you touch, the very first touch with a person, will communicate to them whether they're going to get to relax or not. If you come at them, okay, gotta give you a massage, and they say, I'm not sure about this, their muscles tense, and almost no matter what you do from there on, you'll not get the results that you want, because you've created a distrust by the approach. So often, just touch first and build that relationship. Okay, now experiment a little with your awareness. Bring your awareness right to the texture and feel the surface. And then you'll be aware down to the skin. Begin to be aware of the skin and the folds of the skin underneath. Maybe the temperature of the skin, a little warmth right there. And then you move your awareness down into the muscles. And begin to follow them and feel what's there. If you can feel some muscles that are feeling a little more tense.
Sometimes they just are tight, they feel like knots. Okay, now move your awareness down to the skeletal structure, the bones, the whole body, and that sense of being in touch with the whole body system. And now with a little different kind of knowing, let yourself know what the mood of the person is that you're with. Now that takes taking out of your focus to where it can just feeling or sensing. Just knowing. What's the person thinking?
I don't want to know.
Okay. Now move your awareness to the whole person. Have that sense that you are with a whole, you're not touching skin and bones. You're touching a person. Who is unique? A person who is a gift of God. This is an opportunity to be interacting with a gift from God. So you're in touch with that person in their spirit. And you can put your awareness at any one of those levels and experience your contact with the person. Okay, and now with your thumbs rotating, start down about an inch on each side of the spine, not on top of the spine. Why is that not to massage on the spine? But going down each side, you're in touch with these muscles that run right down the back here. You feel what they feel like. It heals out and feel the muscles under the arm, too. Get that whole shoulder blade. Some of this you can do easier when you're standing. Sometimes a little difficult to get. Now move up and the point right off the shoulder blade. Right about here, right at the upper edge in the shoulder blade and the spine. See the pressure point on each side. Often it's sore. So maybe check out, is that sore? And if it's real tender, then you want to take it easy. And sometimes you need to kind of go into it to find it.
No, not really.
Okay, and now with your finger and third finger, I usually use my thumb, again, a kind of rhythmic vibrating motion, another type of massage motion. One inch on each side. And then sometimes you end up seeing the sensation if you take your fingernail and just lightly go down the spine. Uh-huh. Okay, and then with your index finger on your thumb, come to where the muscles are connected in the shoulder here, and finish by stroking with your, I use the back of my fingernails to stroke the arm. Okay. Now slide around to the side. You may want to stand for this because we're going to work with the head. Put one hand on the forehead and then with a light rotary motion, start up each side of the spine. And there, just keep you aware and kind of explore the nooks and the crannies.
That nooks on the nuts.
Best not to use a lot of pressure right here in the neck. Pretty vulnerable spot. And that's a rotary motion. Then come up underneath, kind of put a little more pressure than when you get up on the muscles right at the base of the skull. And work your way out the edge of the skull. And then there's some little pockets out here. Sometimes they're sore. Those are also in Okay, now bring the edge of your hand against the muscles at the base of the skull, like this, and then pushing from both hands, hold your hand up. Exhale. Push. Now I know how to cut yourself. Hold it and then let go. Let's release. Okay, and then again, pressure at the base of the skull and the edge of your head, and then push up and squeeze the head between your two hands. And then release. Okay, so now with one hand on the upper chest and one hand at the base of the neck, take a moment to stand and just quietly send your energy into the person, so your energy to the inside. And Dr. out of Madison, Colorado, tells this story. He had someone come in with a dislocated shoulder and everyone else was busy in the clinic. And he couldn't get anyone to help, and so he wasn't going to do anything until he could. So instead he just sat and he held the shoulder. And as he did, the person let go, began to relax, began to release, and he was able to adjust the shoulder without any anesthetic. And it's just going to be just very quieting and connecting. The heart center and the whole head and nervous system. Okay, and then a little under the hair. Your energy. Now let your touch get lighter and lighter and keep doing it till it's almost no touch, and then keep doing it without any touch.
You mentioned to me that some cultures really frown on touch. Some of the Asian cultures, for instance, are very limited in some of their kinds of touch. And then there are other cultures that touch much more than we do. And we've run into some of the concerns in our society around touch. One of the obvious ones is that touch is an invasion of a person, and the fear that it might be threatening. So that in those societies where there's fear of violence, often there's a fear of touch. Also in our society is the fear that touch means sexual, and for some people it does. And if you're one of those people for whom when you are touched you feel sexual, just accept that. Accept that was kind of the way you were programmed to experience touch. You know, I've heard a lot of making fun of different kinds of hugs. And the hug, when you hug someone like this, well, I was in that place a long time because I was very afraid of hugging. And I had grown up in a good ELP Lutheran home in South Dakota. And I read the pamphlet that said, don't play with fire, which means don't dance. And it was very clear in its logic. You don't dance because if you dance, you get turned on. And if you get turned on, then you make love. And if you make love, you're going to have babies or get disease. So don't dance. Well, they programmed me well. And you can imagine what happened the first time I danced. I really got turned on. That's what they said would happen. And boy, it was one of the most miserable nights of my life. I was so tense and afraid and anxious. So for a long time, I was really afraid of hugging and afraid of touch. And I know that happens for a lot of us, that we may not feel comfortable with it. And yet then I've discovered how neat touch can be and how neat hugging can be. And I've discovered how to just relax and be in touch with a person and change some of the old tapes in my head that made me experience certain things when I did touch. And just enjoying that freedom now. But don't be hard on yourself if that's where you're at. Kind of try to understand where that came from and deal with it and have enough opportunities to learn that maybe it doesn't have to be the only way you experience hugging or touch. Okay, any other comments or questions coming out of what you experienced? Yes.
This isn't so much what I just experienced, but what you were talking about. I've worked with elderly quite a bit, and I think touch is often important there, but I remember giving a woman a tour of the facility, and she was elderly, she was senile, she was anxious, and I just linked my arm through hers automatically and she shrunk away. And I realized that just because I'm comfortable with touch, I have to be real careful with where to do that.
Yes, so take some sensitivity to negotiating, maybe a small touch to start with.
A month later, she was running on with everybody.
Right, okay, yeah.
The on touch where you're really not touching anymore, but you can feel the other person. My eyes were closed, but I knew where Sharon's hands were going down the arm because you could feel the
feel the energy in the warmth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was going to say, I think it a lot of it relates back to your early childhood. If your parents were loving, hugging parents to mom and dad and the children, I think that it makes it much easier for you to carry that on in your own family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, we were commenting after giving the touching and the loving, how much energy then was transferred from maybe the person's anxiety or tension back, kind of redistributed, that we were the benefits of. So it's not a matter of doing something to somebody in a way that you're expending energy, but you're receiving energy, good energy back.
Yes. You really let go and let it be an interaction. It does not need to exhaust you in terms of feeling like you're being trained and doing it. Okay, I do need to finish. In case you need an excuse, your assignment is to find someone and get it back.